As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Good morning, 7:01. Bright and early on a Thursday morning. Hello, everybody. Yes, we've been here for over an hour. It's called the Dirt and Sprague Party.
Moving and grooving.
Andy Dirt Johnson to my left. Brandon Sprague here to my POV. Jason Swigard, front right adjacent.
Center right field.
Center right field, yeah. Good call.
He's playing in the gap.
Good call.
No doubles defense this morning. Good strategy.
Good morning. Hello, if you're just tuning in. Again, hope your Thursday's off to a great start. We got to a lot in the first hour. We kicked it off with street fair conversation.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Weekend plans out there, door to door. Couple poll questions if you missed it. Just want to pass them along. What has a higher percentage of conversion rate, Mitchell Robinson free throws or door-to-door religion? Update on that poll question right now is Mitchell Robinson winning 66.7% of the vote.
Reliable.
No.
66% of the time, it works every time.
Yeah, 40% you said? I don't know. And then the second one stemming from our local street fair, I went to the Montevilla one last week. Dirt's going to go to the Selwood one this week. And I like the street fair. I also don't like the street fair, but I'm always down to go to the street fair. But then I find myself not buying a lot of stuff at the street fair. Anyways, got into a conversation of, I noticed last weekend at the Montevilla one, these bank tents. We got local banks just setting up vendor tents as if they're like giving me anything. And so a poll question, should banks have vendor tents at your local street fair? Right now, 76.7% of you are saying no. In fact, it followed up with a really funny response from Dylan. As someone whose wife works at a bank, please stop making her sit at a tent.
I told you.
During the street fairs.
I told you none of them want to be there.
She doesn't enjoy working it, and nothing positive comes of it.
None of it at all.
If I want a bank, I'm going to go to the bank.
I know what banks to find.
I can find a bank.
I don't need the bank to find me. I'll find the bank.
You're
We talked about soliciting, too, and this was a really funny one from P1 Bob. Let me find it. He said he was talking about the mall kiosks one. He said about 5 or 6 years ago, the dude that was cleaning shoes, or no, it was at Clark County Fair. There was a dude that was cleaning shoes. And he said, hey, let me show you what it does. And you're like not paying attention for a moment. You say, okay. Next thing you know, he's got this cleaning stuff on your shoe.
And now you're paying.
He looks down and he's like, well, now I have one perfectly clean shoe and one dirty shoe.
You got to pay.
I got to pay. And he was like, well, you're going to have to buy some product. Then sit down. I'll clean your other shoe. And he was like, damn it. Got me.
Yeah, that sucks when that happens.
We've all been roped in like that.
And just word of advice, if you missed it, don't wear your Jordans to the mall.
No.
You will be hounded about how much cleaner they could possibly be with their magic shine and scuff remover.
According to Bob, maybe it works, man. Maybe you should
I'm not saying it doesn't work.
Just scuff those shoes over there, man.
Did you plan on spending $30?
No, I did not.
If you didn't plan on spending that $30, it's gone. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. We will dive into the Dan Lanning. He got through quite a bit of stuff yesterday in his speech and then did interviews. There was a really funny bit that one podcast played with him, showing him a logo. But let's step into the cafe. Day Dirt and Sprague. Good morning. Hello.
Got a good appetite today.
It's a good mix today, but the special, a chef special today, breakfast pho.
It's unique.
Is that what they have for breakfast? I have no idea what they have for breakfast in Vietnam.
So what I've experienced in my life, having friends from Africa, being married to somebody and having a family that's from Vietnam and meeting people that have been from China and, you know, Europe and all these great continents and countries. What I have discovered about America is breakfast is not a specific kind of food.
Just kind of eat whatever you
want. Breakfast is whatever you want
to
eat.
That's the way it should be, to be honest with you.
It threw my wife through a loop when we lived together for the first time, when she noticed, like, every day I was an eggs, bacon, toast.
Same thing every day. Like,
you know,
cereal,
traditional breakfast.
Traditional white American standard breakfast. Because she would wake up and eat spaghetti. She'd just warm up.
Dude, I respect the hustle.
No, she's converted me.
Yeah.
I'm still a big breakfast foods guy.
Sure. It kind of reminds me of like when you were a kid, your mom ever make you breakfast for dinner. You get the breakfast for dinner nights. It was such a fun.
I loved breakfast.
You felt like
you were
doing something exotic. Oh, we're breaking a rule. Ooh. Wait, we're having pancakes at 5:30? What?
Yolky eggs.
You can do that?
Yeah.
This is allowable?
It was great.
You can do whatever you want, man.
And it's been reversed on me. So yes, pho is a very delightful breakfast staple. And I have introduced it into my life.
I still have never had pho.
That's okay.
I need to try it. It's not like an anti I don't want to try it
That's
thing.
Fine.
I need some pho.
I think you would like it.
I probably would.
You like Thai food.
I love Thai food.
Yeah. Then I think you would like pho. And I know that's a much different
Is it in the ramen family?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love me some spicy
noodles.
Miso ramen.
That's all it is. It is a rice noodle, thin. It is a beef bone broth.
Love a good beef bone broth.
It is onion cilantro.
Okay.
It is thinly cut steak that will then be uncooked, but when you put it in the broth that's so hot, it cooks it.
Okay.
And then if you want to add other things, bean sprouts, you're more than welcome to.
Not a big bean sprout guy.
That's
okay.
Okay.
Carrot, shredded carrot.
Yeah, you can, but it's not really coming with it. You got to ask for it.
Now, do they do the hard-boiled egg in there?
They do not, but that's what our breakfast pho is going to include, is a lightly hard-boiled egg. So the yolk is still a little runny.
Soft-boiled.
Soft-boiled. Thank you. And bacon bits on top of your thinly sliced steak.
Okay.
That's your breakfast pho.
I'm all in. That sounds fantastic.
A lot to get to. Let's start with something yesterday that it's just kind of odd how it's lingering over. This player may have started for the last time for his team. He talked about the experience.
You know, in the moment, I want to live in the moment. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on around me that I have no control in, so, you know, I try to be pretty present all the time, you know, and when the fans get on their feet like that and give you a pretty good ovation, it's special. It'll never not be special, and it's something I've always appreciated, and hopefully they feel the same way. You know, I've given, you know, hopefully they feel like I've given everything to the team, to the city, and because I truly have, so those are always special, and I'll never forget those for sure.
That is Tiger starting pitcher Tarek Skubal. He pitched 6.2 innings yesterday, gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs, but had 6 Ks. I think he eclipsed the 1,000 strikeout barrier as well.
Yes, he did.
And he's probably going to be traded. That's him talking about. I hope they enjoy the experience. I'll just give the same take, and I understand the counter argument. It's not a hard one to make, but I'll just give the take. I just will never want to live in a world where my team's just giving up an amazing Hall of Fame level type pitcher because we're having a disappointing season and assets. Like, I will always want a great starting pitcher. What are they going to hope to get if they trade Tarek Skubal? Picks that they can draft what? The next Tarek Skubal.
Yeah, get some young arm that you hope turns into that.
It's really unfortunate, but he's probably going to be a Dodger or a Yankee, and so I'm sure that'll be great.
I mean, he's a really fun story, obviously, as a local Northwest guy who came out of nowhere to become one of the most dominant pitchers that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years in baseball. And you look at his numbers, ERAs in the low twos to the mid twos, even this year where the win-loss record isn't great because they're not scoring a lot of runs in Detroit. His 2.79 ERA is fantastic. His career ERA is barely over 3. And if he continues in this direction for another 2 or 3 years, it might fall below 3. This is the worst part about the fandom of some markets in Major League Baseball is that it should have been a no-brainer 3 years ago when this guy went 7-3 and then 18-4 with a 2.39 ERA. The extension should have happened then and there, and all of this would have been water under the bridge. But instead, they were incompetent, they acted stupidly, and now they've ran out of runway here, and they feel like their gun is, you know, a gun is to their head, and this is the only call that they can make, and they got to trade him. And who ends up losing in this case? Tigers fans, man.
Yeah.
Tiger fans have not had a lot to cheer for. They've been to some World Series and lost, been close. You got this great young player, lost in the postseason last year, and he is without a doubt going to get traded by Monday's trade deadline.
We've got NFL camps that have opened up, so there's a lot to get to in the NFL.
Order up! The easiest way for me to say that, and it still won't stop you from asking, not you particularly, but everybody in general, is the first game. We're going to have a start of the first game, right? I mean, ultimately, I'm not going to decide who the starter is. They decide by their play. Their play decides who the starter is. I don't have any preconceived notions of how they played in the past or how they're going to play. I only can, with my eyes, judge. And guys got to play well around them. I think we've shored up some things up front. We've added some weapons on the perimeter, so I think that's going to help. But they'll decide who plays. I don't decide who plays. The players decide who plays.
That is head coach of the rounds this year's first year, Todd Monk. And quit asking me about the quarterback. It's not my decision. It's their decision.
Is there a more irrelevant decision in the NFL, too?
Not to them.
I mean, it just...
If Shador plays, I think most of the fan base, based on what I've heard...
They probably want Shador to start.
They want Shador, yeah. Because you're either going to sink with Shador and then move on out of the Deshaun Shador thing.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be awkwardly supporting Deshaun Watson, and I don't think that's a universal we're happy about that.
Totally fair. Inside the Browns fandom, I would probably have the same stance as well, like, what the hell? I just mean in terms of, like, I got some breaking news for you. I don't care who starts for the Browns this year. They're going to suck.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Fire away.
Casey Concepcion.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy.
You try to sell me the Cleveland Browns right now?
Junkins.
Yeah, they got a dominant defensive lineman, too. Oh, wait.
That's they do. Right. They got Verse.
They do. Is he the defensive player of the year in the NFL?
They locked up Denzel Ward. they signed Del Pitt yesterday.
Were all those guys on the team last year?
Their defense was good.
Sure it was. How many games did they win?
Their offense upgraded.
Did it?
I don't know.
Maybe? I don't know. Whoever starts, it's the most meaningless debate we're going to have for the next month is the Browns starting quarterback. Because breaking news, Shador's not going to be a franchise quarterback, and Deshaun Watson's career is over.
Order up!
Oh, absolutely. I told the team yesterday, this is as excited as I've ever been coaching this football team in my time here. And it's because of the people we have in the room. I mean, players, coaches, support staff, everybody. So we're just ready to go.
That is Matt LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Who, by the way, I believe he had an MVP season from Aaron Rodgers when he got to Green Bay. But this is the most excited he has been.
He definitely did.
To ever coach a Green Bay Packer team. Coming into a season.
This is like a rock band showing up to every city saying, Portland, we love you. You're the best crowd we've ever had. Does every coach say this every year?
Yes.
This is the most excited I've ever been to be a head coach. Yeah, really? More than when you had Aaron Rodgers, an MVP, and you got to the NFC Championship game and you decided to, you know, kick a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down when you're down by 8 points? People don't forget, Matt. Yeah. People don't forget. Although, fair point at the fan text line, more irrelevant decision is the Dolphins wide receiver depth chart. Fair. Touche. What is the more meaningless depth chart race? Cleveland Browns quarterback.
Miami Dolphins.
Or Dolphins wide receivers. Probably Dolphins wide receivers.
Order up!
Now those two are two of the best in the league, and they're going to be going at it every day. So whenever those guys need to get excited to get better, go ahead and do it.
Do you like that? Is that good, you think?
To an extent. When it starts to interrupt practice, not too much. But if you can maybe punch somebody in the face in about 15 to 20 seconds and then get back lined up, that's probably ideal.
Joe Burrow.
I love Joe Burrow.
Jamar Chase got into it with Jalen Davis, the DB for the Bengals. That was a big video that went viral. But actually the scary news was Shamar Stewart went down. His leg bent the wrong way. He was carted off. He was seen on crutches. Haven't seen an update this morning yet, but I watched the video. His leg bent so backwards.
Did not look good, man.
That, like, if he escapes this and doesn't miss time, it'll be a great news for them, but the Bengals opening up camp getting a little feisty.
I mean, they desperately need to be better defensively. We know that's been their issue the last few years. A big offseason trade will certainly help in that case, but when you have your first-round pick from a year ago and a guy that you're relying on to play some big snaps, there's nothing worse this time of year than training camp injuries that will shape and evolve how the NFL season will play out. And I don't know if this is one of those for Cincinnati. Maybe they can overcome it. Maybe their defense holds them back again this year. Time will tell on that. It sucks, dude. The Burrow quote on fighting in practice is so spot on. I'd have the same takeaway of like, guys, it's hot. We all want to get out of here. Can we stop delaying this? Please get it over with. Let's get back to practicing. The Stewart injury was much bigger news and a really tough blow for Cincinnati.
Yeah, good stuff in Cincinnati. Off to a rip-roaring start as everybody's all hot and bothered and pissed off.
Order up!
Yeah, ever since last season when my hand got healthier and just getting into a groove of everything with the timing, the rhythm, the footwork, and just felt like it was at it was really climbing. And, you know, from then to now, I feel like I've grown. I'm certain I've grown mentally and physically just dramatically. And at the end of the day, it's just refining every little detail. Leave no stone unturned and just try to get better in every asset. And, you know, that's a constant battle with yourself every single day until you lace them up or hang them up. And, yeah, I feel really good where I'm at right now, but it's a constant development each and every day.
That was the Niner, as he's known in the streets, J.J. McCarthy, on his development from last year. You know, his hand got healthier. He started to mature and understand stuff.
Yeah.
Now he's really grown.
Now is the time to blossom. Keep watering him. He's a flower, Captain.
Now is the time.
Similar to a lot of quarterback debate, like, are we really going to do this for a month?
Yes.
Are we really going to?
I think they're going to do this until week one.
We're going to pretend that Kyler Murray's not going to be the starting quarterback in Minnesota.
What? Give me.
Are we going to go along this ruse?
Give me the Vegas odds for you.
If I were making the odds on who the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings will be, sans an injury,
I want to bet
one,
Murray or McCarthy. I want to open up my bet machine and I want to say, what are the odds?
-1500 for Kyler Murray, +3000 for J.J. McCarthy. Dude, there's not a world that exists.
Not a world?
That J.J. McCarthy will be their starter. Unless Kyler Murray gets hurt, there's not a world that exists.
Wow. Okay.
Have we seen J.J. McCarthy play football?
We have.
Okay. Do we have eyeballs?
We do.
Okay. Just checking.
Order up!
Yeah, this is it.
You know, I guess why, what is it? Why is this it?
I thought last year might be it. And then Mike got hired and I talked to the wife and she said, you can do one more year. So I said, well, see if it works out. And then it kind of all came together.
Everybody else feel like he looked in the mirror and said, hey, wife, can I play?
Shout out the wife, man.
Still haven't seen her.
The wife is just steering him, all right? She's calling the shots behind the scenes. She's wearing the pants in that relationship.
Been married a year. We still haven't seen him.
Somebody had a great tweet the other day after this video came out. And it was basically like, dude, TMZ can find literally anything.
They haven't found her.
They'll find the particles of a fart from a president or something, but they can't find Aaron Rodgers' wife.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, how is that possible?
Aaron Rodgers. I'll say this about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Hey, Rod, your guy.
We joke about the wife. I've been very critical of Rodgers. I don't buy him, and I haven't for a little bit, as a franchise guy.
Sure.
I'll say this. He is one of your favorites.
He's one of the all-time greats.
He's one of the most talented players I've ever seen play the position.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is his last year. I don't have high expectations.
No.
I'm going to enjoy the final season of Rodgers.
Enjoy one more run with Rodgers?
Yeah, and if he's bad, we'll say, like, he wasn't good.
He's
but, like,
probably
I'm going to try to just enjoy. It's the last season of Aaron Rodgers in my life.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Steelers will be challenged offensively.
Bold take.
Above average defensively to good defensively. And be a game above 500 and right in the mix to make a wild card. Because that's who they are literally every year.
Order up!
We talked about this earlier in OTAs, just the vibe, the energy. You know, it's different. It's not... I'm not saying it's better, it's worse, it's different. And, you know, as a new head coach for a team, I think that's a smart decision to make things different. You know, this isn't the same place, and you have to make it feel differently because, you know, doing the same thing, it obviously didn't work. So got to change it up and try to find new ways to make it work.
There's Josh Allen on new head coach Joe Brady, who's taken over for McDermott, and they're hoping that the offensive-based vision will be what can put them over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with the take. I don't know if Brady will be the guy that ultimately does it in Buffalo, but I do think when you've been butting your head against a wall for a long time, which Buffalo has with McDermott, sometimes a change of the messenger is what's needed. Just a vibe shift, a different motivating factor, whatever the case may be. Sometimes that's all the nudge that you need to go in the right direction. I certainly will still criticize them for not cleaning house in terms of coach and GM at the same time. That's always a weird move to me. But ultimately, I understand the point of trying to get a new message in the locker room.
Order up!
Just figuring out my schedule a little bit better. When I'm going to train, when I'm going to relax, how I'm going to train, you know, what works best for me and my body, how to eat. And things like that. Lost some weight, so it's good. I'm excited about that. Be able to move a little bit better. Be able, you know, be smoother. You know, all these different things. Just being able to also bring that into the facility with the strength staff and things like that. Things I've done, things that work well with me, and being able to adjust and be better for the season.
How much did you lose?
10 to 15, something like that.
How'd you do it?
eating at certain times. Going to bed and not eating after 7 and, you know, just eating consistently, eating well.
That is Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. And I'll tell you, this was the most alarming thing I heard yesterday.
Him losing weight. You want him thicker with two C's?
When you're
Stan,
not overly tall, you're not Josh Allen, I just worry at all times about hits you take. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be your best healthy self. He clearly thinks this is the direction to go. But as a sports fan, I think, man, a couple extra pounds of padding is kind of nice to take when a linebacker blindsides you.
It's interesting because that was in the notes for Oregon Media Day stuff yesterday. Dante Moore talked about his weight. He went from 203, I think he said, to 220.
Yeah.
Nearly 20 pounds, and you imagine it off, like you're not just putting on fat, right? That's a lot of muscle. It's a lot of good weight that you want to have on. It's going to make him, he thinks, withstand some hits later on in the season. I agree with you for a smaller quarterback. There's some guys you could probably make the argument of, like, let's shed 10 to 15. Maybe you'll move a little more fluid. That I can get. He's an undersized quarterback. He's going to get hit a ton. He runs around and extends plays a lot. Like, yep. he makes himself vulnerable in moments. And, yeah, I'd rather have him thicker with two C's later in the season when it's cold weather football in Chicago.
I didn't get to all the audio there, but the cafe is always busy, and we're racing through our breakfast. So there's Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. On the other side, Dan Lanning at Big Ten Media Day. We could dive into that. We got the Big Ten Media audio from other coaches as well. And I have we have a great rant on an all-time college football blue blood that somebody gave that I actually found myself agreeing with while enjoying listening to it.
Ooh, okay.
So we'll get to that today. It's a Magic Hat Thursday. Dirt and Sprague back with Dan Lanning on 105.1 The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. 728, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Just got out of the cafe. Quite full, quite tasty. A lot of NFL on the docket there.
A lot of food. I needed another coffee at the end of it.
Yeah, that would have been nice to have.
Give me the coffee to go, you know, one of those kind of things.
Oh, I'm with you, 100%.
Always good after a breakfast. Full, you need a little pick-me-up, because now you want to take a food nap. And you know what? You need a little caffeine in your life.
I do know that, you know. I'm definitely not delaying and going through paperwork.
No,
and
there's nothing that you're looking for that's coming up and a read that's necessary to
no
have
way, dude.
At the end of the segment. And you're not going to have to clean all these papers up that you're throwing all over the desk.
No, Cafe Day Dirt and Spray coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity.
Hey!
Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. So Dan Lanning talked yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Quite a bit. Did a lot of interviews. Did his opening speech. Did his Q&A. And we'll get to the audio here in just a second. But the easy takeaway, I think, from the aside from the fun stuff of what yesterday was, the easy takeaway from the players and the coach is this is the year.
This is it.
We're not doing the whole, like, let's dance around the topic. Last
not
year,
at all.
They were not viewed as this. I think that's ridiculous. I think 8 to 10 teams every single season should be in the consideration of this, even if you don't know the full extent of the roster and the depth.
Right.
They're just that talented. Oregon is absolutely one of them. But they said it themselves, championship or bust. So before I dive into Dan Lanning audio.
Yes.
I don't think you were surprised to maybe hear that takeaway from them themselves, but
no.
To just hear it be said of like, yeah, dude, this is a gear up for the title, the first one in Oregon history.
It was one of the bigger takeaways for me from Media Day is that there was no shying away from the expectation and the pressure that's on them this year. You know, every coach is going to handle that a little bit differently. Sark, I watch a lot of his stuff. They certainly have high expectations of Texas. And he didn't quite get into it as much as Lanning did. Like, the first quote of the day that came out, we just got a snippet of it, but I wrote the entire thing down because he did a, I don't know if it was a sit-down or a passing comment to On Three, and we mentioned the quote. And here is his full quote. Quote, "I know Indiana's an outlier, and they've done an unbelievable job, but it takes time, man, to build something really special. I think of coaches in our era that have been able to have success and create success and win national championships. I don't think Kirby Smart did it in his first 4 years. I don't think Ryan Day did it in his first 4 years. It takes time. It's hard. It's hard to build. There's, what, 4 active coaches that have won a championship. We're close. We got to win the last one. We got to play better, and certainly there's no excuses from us. We just got to improve." The message from the players and the coaches yesterday, where they understand what's at stake this season. They know what the expectations are, and you know the fans are certainly going to have that. But I think you also got the message, and we'll get to some of the audio in a moment. That's also a massive reason why a lot of these guys came back, and it's one of the reasons why Oregon is a highly favored team this year, is that that's been one of the trends. Indiana was certainly this. Ohio State was this. Michigan was this. They were able to convince guys to come back. Let's go for one more run. And some of those teams were able to pull it off.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the players. I know Dante talked a lot. Talked a lot of golf, by the way.
He did. He ranked his Band of Dunes courses. I told you down at the tournament, he's got a nice golf swing, man.
I didn't see his ranking. I did see him say he played Pacific, Old Mac, and Trails, and he purposely did not play Sheep because he, quote, wanted a challenge.
I mean, he's not wrong.
It's
still challenging.
It's on a cliffside. It's a beautiful course. You can. It's the
easiest. Oh, I'm not saying it's not beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Why would you not want to play it? You're there.
Yeah, you want to test your skills a little bit, all right?
But
you know
did.
What they say? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, you're not sharpening your iron.
What was his ranking?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I saw
probably one, right?
Pack's probably one. OG Bandon, and then, I mean, everybody's got a little bit different one, but I did chuckle at the slight dig at Sheep Ranch from Bandon.
Jamari Johnson on the desk of the Big Ten Network about this year's expectations.
Most important thing we as a team have to do this year is
me win a championship.
Pretty simple to the point.
It was asked more times than his answer was just given in seconds. That's crazy.
That was like a DJ spinning the record to start it up.
Is he gonna do it again?
Most important thing we as a team have to do.
Here's Dan Lanning on the key guys all returning for the season.
Well, you take a lot of things. Every year you look at the things that have gone well, and
that's
then you look
Ryan
at the
Day.
Things that came up short. And I think when you're chasing small
Ryan
margins
Day's
like we
Oregon
are,
now?
You have to identify the things that need to get fixed and fix them.
This is the cut I pulled.
The easy thing to do is do
but it's
do
labeled
nothing
Lanning
or
on key guys
overreact.
Returning.
Where the real work is really identifying what needs to get
fixed.
I mean,
I'm okay with Ryan Day being our head coach. I just don't know how I feel about the dyed
beard. So I won't get into all those things.
More concerned
but,
about
yeah,
the
there's a
Pierce
lot of
nipples.
Things that needed to get addressed and will continue to get addressed. And sometimes you don't know if those decisions were right until you get all the way to the end of the season. I think this year, based on the way our schedule looks and the way it's laid out, we're going to get some early feedback in these games.
I mean, Oregon's got to go down to USC. It's not going to be an easy one. Dirt's probably going to be out for that show.
I might be out for the Oregon-USC show, yeah. You never know.
So are all these cuts like either going to be remixes
gonna work today?
Or other
are
guys?
Are we able to play audio from Big Ten Media Day, or is this
let's
not
going
to
be?
Let's try. Third chance.
Swag's over there like, I have no idea what's happening. Here's Dan Lanning.
Oh,
I think
maybe
getting over the hump.
Okay.
And I got to see Dan Lanning do his magic.
Nope.
The master motivator himself.
Great
making me want to run through seven straight brick walls to play football for him and risk myself never being able to
walk. I feel
walk,
that way, yeah.
Talk.
But man, I agree.
Mock draft walk. Ever again. Talk. Something special about Dan Lanning, I don't really know what it is. It could be the intimidating look
awesome.
In his eyes and the ferocity in which he speaks when he makes direct eye contact with you and kind of goosebumps steal.
I think this guy wants to have sex with Dan Lanning.
I think he pretty much wants to have sex with Dan Lanning.
I'm going to do this. I'm actually deathly afraid to play any more cuts, so I'm actually not going to.
We just went 0-3 in an audio-based segment. That's not great, Bob.
All right, let me see if
they're all
works
labeled
any...
Dan Lanning.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try again. We wanted to talk about getting over the hump this season.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Any of the ones we wanted to play?
Let's try.
And I got to see Dan Lanning
We just heard that guy said he wants to have sex with Dan Lanning.
Great job.
So we're going to bail on the Dan Lanning audio.
Is this all – okay, let me
– I know we have it in the system.
We do.
Because we had two shows after us pull it. Dan Lanning, though, yesterday.
Dan Lanning talked a lot about the expectations this year.
He's not shying away from it.
No,
and
he's
look,
not.
I thought this was a good point. He said basically the players are running it. And that's interesting, right? Like, I almost wonder, there is an element of, because a lot of the attention for him when he was asked questions yesterday outside of the jokey, fun-natured ones, was about the coordinators. And keeping it internal, not interviewing externally, it was, which is a very interesting choice, right?
It's a like, roll of the dice with a highly expect, with big expectations for this year.
I was thinking about this too yesterday because he was asked about it a few different times and talked about it. It's a very un-Dan Lanning-like thing for him to do, in my opinion. I'm not an Oregon fan, but my experience of the Dan Lanning world so far as the Oregon coach is this guy will try to do any and everything to get the edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting thing to not even interview externally, And it's okay to say you also believe in the guys you have internally and sure. ultimately hire them.
Sure.
To me, it's more about information. Dan Lanning comes off as a guy that at all times and everything, he wants information, whether that's schedule, travel, practice times, windows, eating, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. He didn't decide to do external interviews like at all and instead just hired his coordinators. But I also was wondering, did he make that decision because, one, the defense is going to be fine, and two, there's so many returning guys that the pressure or the expectation coordinator-wise, it's tampered down a little bit because there's so much experience that you don't expect it to fall back.
It's a very unique spot to be in where the roster has never been better, and yet you have these two massive lingering questions going into the season at the two most, you know, outside of obviously the head coach, the decision maker on offense and the decision maker on defense. And until you get into the fire, you don't know how they're going to handle that. Now, they both have experience calling plays. I think his counter argument, if I were to be cosplaying as Dan Lanning for a moment, because our audio is not working, and he actually said it yesterday, but evidently we can't play audio on the show today, is that he saw them firsthand every day. Merringer's been there. He came in with him right out of the gate. Merringer's been there the entire time. Hampton came in, I want to say after year one, he showed up in year two as a co-D coordinator and a secondary guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his answer would be, I have all the information I need. I saw these guys on a day-in and day-out basis. One for 4 years, one for 3 years. I know what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen what they've done in their rooms. They've been helping with game planning. And so it was never even a thought to go outside the room because I always knew that these guys were going to be the guys that filled that void whenever that void reappeared. It is very unique, though, because on the one hand, I have this thought in the back of my head of like, oh my God, two unproven coordinators in the most anticipated Oregon season of all time. What could go wrong, right?
And there's so much talent.
There
you know?
Is. And then on the other side of it, there's also, and this is where we have to be fair to Lanning, like the end of the season stuff has certainly not been great the last 2 years. The one thing you cannot criticize him on is, I mean,
his hires,
right? Like, yeah. The LaPoy thing, you can say he's not a good coach, he's a good recruiter. He also just got a Cal job, and we'll see what he does down there. Like,
unfair to Tosh LaPoy. He put in a lot of work.
His
defenses were relatively pretty damn impressive.
Agreed.
They just crumbled at the end, and I think last year the circumstance was a little different than the Ohio State one,
sure.
even though the result was the same because
Ohio State was
out.
More inexcusable. There's no doubt about that. You had the long layoff, and they just smoked in. He didn't have a chance. Last year, it was mostly the offense was killing you and turning the ball over and throwing pick sixes, and you were also coaching another team at the same time. And when he hired Kenny Dillingham, it was, who's this young kid who's never called plays before? What a dumb hire. 1 year later, he's the head coach at Arizona State.
Yeah.
And then it's Will, like, you got a guy from UTSA who he didn't really know of, Will Stein, who's this cat? 2 years later, or whatever it is, 3 years later, he comes out, and here he is now the head coach at Kentucky at an SEC program. And so both of those things can be true at the same time, but it's certainly, of all the storylines that will follow Oregon this year, the coordinator is one of the biggest ones on the big board going into the season until you get into one of these matchups where somebody can match you talent for talent, because the coordinators won't matter that much, likely, knock on wood, against a Boise State, an Oklahoma State, right? Like, you should be able to get through those games even with inadequate play calling because your talent is so extreme. It's when you get to the USC game, the Ohio State game, that's when the margins are a little bit thinner, and that's where the difference of the coordinators will be felt.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think because of how deep they are on both sides of the ball, I don't know. There's a weirdly...
See, and this is where I do agree with you completely,
maybe,
but
maybe Lanning's just so quietly confident. Not quietly,
he's pretty loud about it yesterday.
Yeah, but like maybe he's just so confident in the amount of talent returning.
Right.
Like, I can't... I personally, I've seen and heard the argument or the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying like it's completely irrelevant. I don't put eggs in the Merringer was an OC for a year at Rutgers
a decade ago.
Like,
no, we had nothing to work with. That team sucked.
How many bright offensive minds suck or struggle at bad spots with no talent?
Right, when you don't have your starting quarterback available or whatever the case may be.
So,
what was Sean McVay the year that Matt Stafford got hurt?
Yeah. Almost retired.
It was so bad he wanted to walk away from football, man. Yeah. Talent ultimately matters. I agree with the ultimate point. I think this is, again, the tough spot that Oregon is in. And this is where the Natty or Bust thing is laughable to me. Like, Oregon's got one of the best rosters in the sport. We all agree on that. There's not a huge gap between them, Texas, Ohio State, Indiana. Like, go through the bulk of teams at the top. that's when this stuff gets felt. That's the margins, the play
moments,
calling,
right?
And that's what has been their bugaboo the last 2 years, mainly in rematch games where they have not been able to out-scheme an opponent. Last year, you can give me all the qualifiers you want of injury and coordinator. Like, I get it, but that's been their issue the last 2 years. Now, we will not know the answer on that until we get to the end of the season of whether or not you made the right call at OC or DC.
Yeah, are you with me, though, of just like how kind of unlanding it was to not even do an interview?
Yeah.
To not say, hey, this guy at this college that nobody's really heard of, I'm going to talk to him because his offense.
Agree completely.
Very similar to what we run, right. And maybe it takes us to the next level.
And the other side of that coin is, I know that's his DNA, and if that is his DNA and he still made this hire, then he must feel very good about these
and
guys.
And that's kind
of
where
and
I
And it's one of those things,
to.
Like from a coaching staff thing, that he was touting Elite Terry and the job he's done on the offensive line yesterday, and I thought that was important to point out because their offensive line going into the year will be a question mark for a lot of people. Rightfully so. They've only got two starters back, a lot of new faces. Mm. That's seemingly been a question 2 or 3 years in a row of like, what are you going to do with offensive line? Connerly left, first-round pick. How are you going to replace that? And what have they been 3 years in a row? They've been a Joe Moore Award finalist 3 years in a row. And so there is a level of trust that he has built in these categories that puts me a little bit at ease at the start of the year.
We'll see if we can get the landing audio to work on the other side. We got Big Ten coaching audio. Ryan Day, who you've already actually heard. Bob Chesney, the really popular pick in the Big Ten to overperform in year one. And an all-time rant about a college football blue blood. We'll get to that as well. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more 742 on The Fan.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. The ship is a-sailing.
Which way are we going?
Dude, we'll let the wind take us where we go. It's been a fun show. Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the Only Fan IPA. It's available for a limited time. Today, I've been told it tastes just like Dusty Hera.
Ooh, that's a good taste right there.
So you can taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA.
It's we need a name for Dusty Hera's hairdo. Because you know how Gundy had like the, what was they called? The Mississippi, Kentucky Waterfall, what did he call it? Mike Gundy down at Oklahoma State. Didn't we call his mullet something?
Oh, the Mississippi Waterfall?
Was it the Mississippi Waterfall?
So, yeah.
He's got, the lock's over. We need a name for that.
So
the flow's looking good.
An off-air conversation I'm going to put on air.
Sure.
So there is two people on my Hood to Coast team, like in my van, and we have a shared love and affinity for Diet Coke.
Yes.
And I had a Diet Coke after the show.
Right.
And Brandman was there, and I took a photo, and I sent it to the two people.
Mm, of them may or may not have been related to, or not related to, but in the family of.
Definitely somebody that's tasted the fan.
Yes.
The brand man.
I got it.
And I sent a photo to them. And it was funny because the first response was, God, that hair's flowing. And I was like, yeah, he's got it going.
It's got,
long.
He's got a good head of hair right now.
You can pull it.
I'm incredibly jealous.
I don't know what he's going for right
now. I don't
know
what we're
going to
name
it. To see where it's going to end
Maybe
up.
Maybe in the next break we'll take a picture of the brand man's hair and tweet it out. And then
I'm
we could listener suggestions of
that?
The hair. Well,
why?
we got our street reporters on it. Get to the bottom of it. Let's name the hair, dude.
Why do we want to take a photo of his hair and tweet it out? It's ridiculous.
The people demand to see it.
Well, how long is he going?
I don't know.
How long would make you actually uncomfortable? If it gets past his ears, I'm going to kind of wonder.
I think if it gets
what's the goal here?
If it gets to shoulder length, I'm wondering.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Is he just want to do like the
you want like
slow
a,
head
you want to be,
turn where the hair flows back and forth?
You want to be a man bun guy?
A lot of questions.
You a man bun guy over there?
I could see him being a man bun guy.
He could definitely pull off the man
like
bun.
Like super fit man bun guy.
Yeah.
Who comes up, makes you and your wife feel uncomfortable because you think he's just trying to instruct her and not you.
Living an organic lifestyle.
Encouragement. Yeah. Slap the butt. What? What's going on here?
It seems like it's getting a little racy.
I'm delaying because, again, I got to be honest with you. I'm really nervous about the audio at this point.
This time it's definitely going to work.
Swag's putting me in a trust tree.
This time it's for sure
going to
work.
Trust me here, fellas. I've redone it. It's ready to go.
Everything's fine.
Let's start with this. Big takeaway people observed. Evan Stewart got a shout out.
Yes, he did. On multiple platforms.
Multiple platforms. Dan Lanning. Evan Stewart's coming back. Didn't play last year. Missed the game against Ohio State. Here we go. Evan Stewart with the Corey and Moore. Buckle up, baby. Dan Lanning on Evan Stewart.
Evan Stewart's had a really good offseason, and he was out for his last year. He was injured during the year.
But I'm really excited about what Evan can bring to our team this year. We have a lot of great players, so it's unfair for me to pick one. But he's had a great offseason. I'm excited to see what he can create this year.
And he is somebody that if you're not in the Oregon bubble, I think you're a college football fan, you go, God, Evan Stewart's still playing college football, huh?
He's still around, man. He's still around, and it was a big takeaway for me yesterday. Lanning hates that question. He sidesteps that question every time he gets it. He does not like to individually call out players. He gets asked that a million times in media day stuff. Who's one guy who stood out? Like, and it's just, I don't want to call one guy out, because then another player might see that and say, well, why didn't you call me out? And it just creates a whole problem. That's why it was unique, and it wasn't just on a, you know, in front of the general media. He did it on McAfee's show. Everywhere he was asked, hey, can you give me a shout-out of a guy who's looking really good? It was Evan Stewart, and that's a massive takeaway for me, because this is supposed to be the best wide receiver room in the history of Oregon football, and I don't even know if it's close to paid, because having Stewart, DeCorian Moore, and McClellan as your top three, and then adding in all the other five-star recruits and depth pieces who might pop and have good year ones and kind of have their breakout moments, like, they got a lot to work with there. If you get Evan Stewart back to the level of player he was 2 years ago, where he had to deal with some injuries, but over 600 yards and five touchdowns, and you get a healthy DeCorian Moore, you have one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country, and that has never been a position of strength for Oregon. It has always been a weakness for them, and so now, if that is the case this year, it's a nice, pleasant surprise.
Can you give me, is there a name for you that would be the Malik Benson of the team this year? The guy who we've heard the name, but there's zero, like, investment in terms of being productive and becomes probably the best playmaker that you had outside of a couple guys last year. He really stepped up for them.
It's tough because you have the mix of guys who are coming. Like, there's going to be new names this year. Like, Iverson Hooks was their guy they brought in the portal, who was their Tez Johnson type. Little slot guy, quick.
So, like, is that a name we should be talking about?
Without a doubt, that's a name you should be talking about. And then outside of that, that's the only kind of transfer type guy that they brought in.
Yeah.
The rest of them is which of the young guys do it. Remember, they have Gatlin Bear coming in, who was a five-star recruit 2 years ago, went on a two-year mission, and is now starting his freshman year.
Okay.
He's the fastest guy on the team. He's like a world-class track athlete.
His name is Gatlin Bear.
Do you remember his dad played at Oregon? Brendan Bear was a defensive lineman.
I don't remember.
Sure, I don't blame me there, but years ago he was a very good. And then you got a lot of freshmen who are, you know, your Messiah Hampton was one of the big guys in last year's class.
Okay.
So then it's the, who's the DeCorian Moore? Who's the young guy who pops and maybe plays right away? Because that will be an opportunity as well. Gatlin Bear is probably the one I circle because he's a freshman, but he's 20 years old because of his two-year mission.
Dan Lanning yesterday at Big Ten Media Day on, we named a couple of them there, key guys coming back for Oregon.
I think every one of those guys felt like there was an opportunity for them to grow and something left out on the table that they really want to try to take advantage of. And, you know, nobody's going to have higher expectations than we will, but there's a difference in this team and last year's team. We had a lot of talent last year. Now a lot of that talent has experience, and I think that experience is invaluable, especially in a conference like the Big Ten with the opponents we have to play.
Also talked about getting over the hump in the college football playoff.
The great thing about every year is there's changes that, like, happen regardless, right? We have new schemes. We have new people. You have new coordinators this year, new players. Changes happen. But our more than anything, it's going to serve as motivation for us. We're right there, certainly close to be able to accomplish, and only one team gets to taste it. Mm-hmm. So we got a chance to go, continue to improve, see what the best version of us is, and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, expectation, title or bust. I hate that expression because bust is dumb. What are you going to do? You fire Dan Lanning? It's ridiculous. But yesterday, some Lanning snippets. We can get to more, I guess, in the final hour because we're already kind of against it. I did want to play this. He was on one of the podcasts doing the
Cover 3 podcast.
Cover 3, thank you. Yeah. I was blanking on that. And he was basically given logo that would pop up on a screen in front of him, and he could only describe one word with the other Big Ten team logos. No shocking development what logo they put up in front of him. You'll be able to tell by his answer.
It's going to be one Big Ten logo. We just want the first thing that comes to mind.
Here we go.
We've got it on the screen right here.
Ah, 8.
What's funny is
I respect this team, but we want to beat them.
Yeah.
We want to beat the dog out of them every time we get to play them, and they're a really, really tough opponent. Coach Fish does a great job, but yeah, you got to say hate.
Right? Oh, you got to love that.
Can't wait to make it 3 in a row in November. How many in a row will they win?
Go for a decade.
You can get to 12 in a row again. You'll always have 2023, though, Washington.
Remember how Chip Kelly would answer that question?
Yeah, nameless facious opponent. Then the big cast. Okay.
It is really refreshing to see a coach have a quote
Did
like
you guys
that.
Hate that? Can you
hated
can you
that.
Tell me?
Hated that.
It was the worst part of
it. It always meant more. We knew it meant more. He knew it meant more.
Back when even Oregon State stuff meant a lot, and Washington obviously always meant a lot.
USC was still the big king of the conference kind of back then when Chip took over.
Yeah. There's not Winnipeg. Shut up. Just shut up. You're lucky you're good right now.
Playing Arizona is not the same as playing Washington or USC or Oregon State. We all know it. Come on, man.
We got more Big Ten Media Day. We still have a couple Dan Lanning cuts we can get to. I do want to play one person's take on a college football blue blood that I agree with. We got NFL to get into, and it's a Magic Hat Thursday. Hour 3 and 4, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.